you've got your Bible with you this morning, I want you to open it to Exodus chapter 2. Open your Bible to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I'm having them pulling their hair out back in the sound booth back there when I call out these wrong passages. But in Exodus chapter 20, you know, Exodus chapter 20 has to do with the Ten Commandments. God gave us some commandments, 10 rules for living. And you know, as I said last Sunday, we don't get saved and go to heaven by keeping these commandments, but we keep these commandments because they keep us out of trouble and they keep us on the right path of living for the Lord. And so we touched on the first one last Sunday. Let's look at the second commandment this Sunday. Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And God spoke all these words. This is not the preacher saying this is what you ought to do, but this is what God said. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And the first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me or in front of me. And the second commandment says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. The subject today is, do you really love me? I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the Lord. Is he saying that to you and me? You know, I sent Chris the title so he could put it up here, and I said, the title would be, do you really love me? And he sent me an email back, yes, I do. But that's what the Lord Jesus is asking every one of us today. And you say, of course I love the Lord Jesus. I'm a Christian, aren't I? I've been baptized. I come to church. I profess the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, let me introduce what I'm going to say with this little story. You men sitting out there, yes, you men, what if, this is just hypothetical and I hope it doesn't work, but what if one day you were sitting in your living room with this beautiful lady on your lap, and out of the corner of your eye, you saw your wife walk in. She's supposed to be at work, but she's come home early. And you begin to stutter a little bit, and you say, wait a minute, honey. Now don't get the wrong idea. Don't fly off the handle right now. This woman is so beautiful. She reminded me of you. And when I was hugging her, I was just thinking about you. How many of you guys think that'd fly? There's not a woman in this church. There's not a woman in this county. There's not a woman in these United States that would buy something like that. Fact is, you'd get hurt. You ought to get hurt. If that happened to me, I'd get more than hurt. You'd be coming down to Bowles about Tuesday for visitation night. But you say, preacher, why use an illustration like that? Because now you know how God feels. You know how God feels when we, his children, we, the church, his bride, commit spiritual adultery. You know what adultery is? Being unfaithful to your spouse. And spiritual adultery is being unfaithful to God. We've got a commandment. The seventh commandment, verse 14, says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." That's between human beings, spouses. But we are the bride of Christ. You saved this morning. You know you're on your way to heaven. You love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, are you faithful to Him? Do you give all of your love and your faithfulness, your actions and your service to Him and nobody else? You know, it's easy for us to say, "Oh, I love Jesus. I just love Jesus so good." Well, where are you on Sunday morning when church is going if you love Jesus? "Oh, I just love Jesus so good. He's done so much to me, for me." Well, where are your tithes and offerings when the plate comes by? "Oh, I just love Jesus so good. He's done so much to me." Where are you when there's something to be done, somebody to be encouraged, somebody to be prayed for? "I love Jesus so good, but why do you pick up His love letter to you? Why do you never read it? Why do you never take that time to kneel in prayer in your closet and thank Him for what He's done for you?" See, when we do all of that, we can say, "I love Jesus," all you want to. You could do what that fella done in that story that I told you, and you could tell your wife till kingdom come that you love her, but she'd say, "You sure didn't show it, hugging that other woman." So, isn't it the same way God says of us, "You have a mighty poor way of showing me that you love me"? There are three things, and I'm skipping through some of the things. I'm going to give them another fit back there, but we needed to have that remembrance service today. You know, that first commandment has to do with Jesus being on the throne of our heart. But this second commandment has to do with our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gave this commandment for three reasons. Reason number one, because He's a jealous God. Notice verse 5. "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Now, what kind of husband or what kind of wife would you be if you saw your spouse flirting with somebody else or hugging up on somebody else or coming to you and say, "Okay, you know, I think so-and-so that I work with, I'm going to take her out to dinner tonight. You stay here, I'll bring you something when I come home." You wouldn't be jealous, would you? No. I've heard people say, "Don't have a jealous bone in my body." That ain't so. I'm jealous of you, and I'm 74 years old just about it, but she, well, I'm going to stop that, but but I'm jealous. I keep my eye on her. I watch, and she said she watches me because she said, "I seen you roll your eye around when we went." When we were in the mall, now come on, guys, don't tell me that you always look straight ahead in the mall or anywhere else, and you never look when you're driving your car when that beauty's walking down the street. Come on, you ain't in heaven yet. We still down here on this earth. But are we really, really faithful to God? Because He is a jealous God. He wants to be number one in my life, and He wants to be number two in your life if you love Him. And we don't need pictures. We don't need statues. And we don't need buildings. We don't need stars and the moon and saints and relics and people to worship. You know, some people do. Some people worship saints. I went to a church to a funeral one time, and there was a statue of a saint, and just about everybody went in, dropped down on one knee. And then they got a little bit of water out of a a pool there, and they went down to another statue and got down on their knees and crossed themselves with water. What were they doing? They were bowing down to a stone statue. And God says, that makes me mad. Not mad, but it makes him jealous. But you can't be jealous and not be mad, can you? I can't. You get jealous, you get mad. I'm not saying God gets mad at us, but God gets angry at us sometimes. I'm sure he does. He gets angry at me when I don't take the time to love him like I should. When I let other things come into my life. We do that with our families. You know, I got so wrapped up in trying to build a church at Asheboro from scratch that one day my wife, and she didn't say it in whispered words, but she said it so I could hear it and understand it. You got a teenage daughter growing up, and you don't even notice her. You've got your mind on the church all the time. But you don't even notice her. You know, see, even preachers. Well, I had my mind on God, but I neglected my family. But sometimes it's most of the time with us, it's turned around the other way. We've got our mind on the world. We've got our mind on the things of the world. And God gets pushed into the background. Anything that comes between us and our love for God and our faithfulness to him, it brings up his jealousy. He's jealous because, as I said, we are his bride. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. This is talking about when Jesus comes back. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him, that is God, glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife, the church, I put that in parentheses, but his wife has made herself ready. She's arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. We are his bride. He's coming back. And he wants us to be clean and pure before him. He wants a bride that is faithful to him. And God will never let a rival replace him. Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord. That's my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. God does not tolerate unfaithfulness. The second thing, and I skipped some things. God gave this commandment because not only is he a jealous God and he wants us to be faithful to him, because he wants us to watch out how we're living. Notice verse 5 in Exodus 20. You shall not bow down to them, that is idols or anything else, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who serve me. It says, listen, Christian, listen, father, listen, mother, you better watch out how you're living before your children. And you say, well, I thought the Bible said everybody's responsible for their own sin, that the things that I do won't be passed down and my children have to pay the debt. No, they won't. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, it says, the soul that sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. Each and every one of us are responsible for our own sins. We are responsible for our own life. We can't say, well, because daddy did this or mama did this, I can't be saved or I can't go to heaven. We are responsible for our own sins, our own self. But what he's talking about here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5, he's talking about the fact that we fathers and we mothers, we grandfathers and we grandmothers, we church members, we people who say that we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and then our actions show otherwise. We stand up in church and we testify about how good we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we go out here and we live like the devil in the world. Our children are watching us. And we are setting an example before our children. And they're going to follow in our footsteps. If we are unfaithful to God, if we're unfaithful to the church, then our children are going to be unfaithful to God. They're going to be unfaithful to church. There was something in our Sunday school lesson today that I underlined in my book that I thought was good. It was talking about the revival that swept this country at the turn of the 18th century, or in the 1800s, in the 19th century. A great revival. America was turned upside down for God and for many years lived for God. But then we got away. We accepted everything else. And it said the reason that we got away from God, the reason that America is like it is today, the reason that we have a generation that don't want to go to church and don't want to have anything to do with church is because we, as quote Christians, we who say, oh, I love Jesus, we have not shown our children that we love him. Yeah, today is Sunday, we love Jesus, but we're going fishing. Yeah, today is Sunday, we love Jesus, but we're going to play golf. Yeah, today's Sunday and we love Jesus. We're just going to stay in the bed a little while this morning. The reason we're that way is because we preachers have stopped preaching that way. That's what the Sunday school book said. It said instead of giving sound Bible teaching, we've come to the place where you go to see the preacher put on a show. That's what it said. We've turned to emotionalism. If the preacher don't jump high, if the preacher don't holler loud, if the preacher just stands up there and tells you, thus saith the Lord, this is what God's word says, we go home and say that was a dry service. It's not how high you jump. It's not how loud you holler. It's not how many amens you can say, but it is, are you walking according to the truth that you find here in God's word? And today in America, we are not doing that. We are saying one thing and we're doing another. We're saying we love Jesus whenever we're being unfaithful to him. And God gave us this commandment because, number one, he's a jealous God. He don't want anybody else. He won't share you with anybody else. Number two, he wants us to know that our life affects somebody. No man is an island. We affect somebody. If you don't have children, you affect somebody. The third thing, and let's close it out. This commandment tells us that God desires obedience from us. Obedience. You know, notice that in Exodus chapter 20, in verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Before he even laid down this second commandment, he said the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's a decision we have to make as a Christian. Well, you say, I made my decision to let Jesus Christ come into my life and save me. Bless God, he will. You ask him to come into your life and save you, he will. But then he leaves it up to you. Are you going to live for him? Are you going to walk for him? Are you going to serve him? Are you going to love him? That's what you have to do. So we got to make that decision. Yes, I decided to Jesus to save me, but did you decide to follow Jesus? We're to be obedient. We are to obey him. We're obedient because he loves us. And notice in verse 5 and 6 of Exodus 20, thou shalt not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the third and fourth generation, those who hate me. But, I like that but, showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. God wants us to be obedient. We keep these commandments and obey Him because He loved us. He died for us. God gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come in this world and die for you and me. And all He requires of us is to be obedient and love Him. And He says that He will show mercy to those of us who love Him. John 14, 21 says, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I'll love him, and notice that other word, and manifest myself to him. If we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. And if we love Jesus, the Father's going to love us, and he's going to manifest himself. What's that mean? He's going to show himself. It means we'll feel his presence. There'll be a manifestation, not of something that can be seen, but something that can be felt. Do you ever feel the presence of the Lord? Do you ever feel Him when you ride down the road and know that He's in that car with you? Have you ever walked through the valley of the shadow of death and you know that He's with you? You can feel His presence. Have you ever been in bad times and you know that He's there with you just as He is in the good times? He said, if you keep my commandments, if you love me and you obey me, I'll manifest, I'll show myself to you. You can feel me and know that I'm real. And He'll manifest Himself in the church. We don't see much manifestation in the church anymore. All we see in the church is somebody sitting there looking and wanting the preacher to put on a show. And wanting the preacher to do something that they can go out and say, "Did you ought to have been there and seen how high my preacher jumped today. Phooey. How's that going to help you to live for the Lord Jesus Christ because you've got a preacher that can jump 10 feet? No, it's what the Word of God says. And if we're teaching the Word of God, if we're living in the Word of God, if we're keeping the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God will manifest Himself to us and we'll feel His presence. He'll be in our midst. The church will feel Him. The assembled body of Jesus Christ will feel Him. There'll be tears. There'll be clapping of the hands. There'll be raising of the hands. There will be praising of the Lord. But we don't see it much in our churches. We're dead as we can be. And that's because we're saying, "Oh, Jesus, I love you." When really, in the very depths of our hearts, we love something else. Think about it. Because we got to make a decision. We got to look within ourselves this morning as we close. Do we really love Jesus this morning? Is He saying to you and me, do you really love Him? Are we faithful to Him? Or are we breaking God's heart by just giving lip service? Just saying empty words? Well, today's the day when we got to choose. We don't know when another 9/11 is going to come. I don't think they'll blow up Carthage. Some of you might want to, but I don't think. It's still Sweet Carthage, as somebody here used to call it. But you don't know what your 9/11 is going to be. It could be a deep pain right here. It could be a 14-wheeler coming straight at you. It could be somebody blindsiding you at an intersection. But we're going to have a 9/11 someday in each and every one of our lives. And will we stand before the Lord Jesus as an unfaithful bride? Joshua said, and I think he's speaking to us today, Joshua 24:15. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, to choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. He said, okay, you got to choose today. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. He said, I'm going to serve the Lord. He's going to be the God of my life. I'm going to be faithful to Him. What about you? Is Jesus asking that question to you today? Do you really love me? Let's stand. And I know it's about time to go. We're not going to have any music. I just want every head bowed, every eye closed. And I think all of us can be this way. From this preacher on down, we've all been unfaithful to the Lord. We've not served Him as we should. We've not loved Him as we should. But right here where we're standing, let's make that decision in our hearts and in our minds. Lord Jesus, I'm going to obey You. I'm going to serve You. I'm going to love You. You won't have to guess, but You can see by my actions, by my words, by my life, that I'm living for You. Lord Jesus, give me strength and help me to walk as I should walk. I want to keep Your commandments so that I will not be found unfaithful. So that You will manifest Yourself to me. And I'll feel Your nearness and Your closeness. Jesus, You hear our prayers. Come into our hearts new and afresh. Give us new resolve. That from henceforth on we will serve the Lord. And we will strive with all of our might to let nothing come between our love to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.